Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Ben Flanagan of AL.com. Ben Stark of Wondermill Films.
Hey, Ben, how are you doing?
Okay, Ben, what's going on?
So some pretty big movie news dropped today, and we thought it would be good to talk about it. You and I have talked about Warner Brothers DC movies several times now. Most recently, I think, we talked about who would be directing or who we think should be directing the next Superman movie. But it seems like Warner Brothers has more pressing concerns, as they have a Batman movie that I think was pretty close to production that just lost its director and possibly its star, as Ben Affleck seems to have dropped out. I don't really know the details. I think you might know a little bit more about this than me. Is there anything here that I'm missing in terms of the facts that we know?
The only real things I know, or the bare bones of the story, is that Ben Affleck was set to direct this and obviously star in it, following up his Batman versus Superman and upcoming Justice League appearances as Batman. But it turns out that he has dropped out of directing, and a big reason I hear is because of the script issue. And I know that the script had been an issue for him even while he was the director, that he wasn't interested in even sniffing production until he was 100% happy with the script that he was going to direct and obviously act. And it sounds to me like the script is still a big issue, and you know, I don't really know the details of why he decided to ultimately drop out as director. I mean, I know that it's obviously added responsibility. He's probably going to be, they'd probably be working with a budget of upwards of $200 million, if that at least. And he's clearly coming off a huge studio flop for Warner Brothers and Live by Night, the gangster film that had a modest but still sizable budget, a reported $65 million in production, not counting marketing costs that Warner Brothers obviously incurred, and I hear that there's a reported $75 million loss on that whole thing. So it's a big fiasco at Warner Brothers, at least with that movie, and now it's become an even bigger one now that Ben Affleck, the face of this project and arguably the biggest face of the Justice League franchise moving forward outside of its director, the fact that he is no longer the director is a huge story. But if he drops out as the current Batman and leaves that open, then it becomes a disaster for Warner Brothers and DC.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things where, you know, it's obviously, it's a disappointment because we all want a good movie to happen. But at the same time, you kind of look at his situation and, you know, if he was the major person involved in terms of, you know, playing hardball with whether the script was right or not. I mean, he had Daredevil, which was a pretty traumatic experience for him, as far as I can tell. I think I remember seeing interviews where he said he would never play a superhero again, just thought it was ridiculous, and he just wasn't happy with it and wasn't happy with the backlash. And then he had Batman v Superman, where, for better or worse, a part of the fallout of that movie was an ongoing meme that was all about how sad he was about the reception of the movie, and then his next appearance in a superhero movie was a cameo in Suicide Squad, which got even worse reviews than Batman v Superman. So I can understand him being sensitive, you know, and making sure this is the best material it can be before moving forward with it. I do think it's strange that Live by Night would affect this so greatly, considering, I mean, I don't know anything about the movie, really. Kind of came and went, if it already has gone. But, I mean, it doesn't seem like the studio did a whole lot to promote that, so I don't know if that should be entirely on him.
Maybe not entirely on him, clearly. I think that they did promote it a good bit. I know that in our text thread, there has been some talk of how there hasn't been a lot of visible promotion material, but you know, as somebody who watches TV from time to time, I definitely noticed a fair amount of TV spots and publicity for it. And you know, it was an R-rated gangster period movie, so it already was up against it, considering those tend not to do great in theaters now. You know, isn't
well, I was about, you're probably about to say it. Isn't this the same studio that dropped Gangster Squad in January a few years ago?
Yeah, so if you look at something like Gangster Squad, I mean, that's another misfire critically and at the box office, and, you know, perhaps it should have informed Warner Brothers' decision to release something like Live by Night. But, you know, you had a guy like Ben Affleck who was starring in it and directing it and had had hits in the recent past using the same formula, like The Town and obviously Argo, which went on to win Best Picture. And Live by Night was poised to be an Oscar contender and something that they were really trying to get behind, but it was a critical failure and is now an even bigger box office failure. And I don't know how big it plays into the Batman storyline, but I think it has to at least play some role, considering he directed that movie, starred in it, it was the face of it, and it's become such a huge flop, and it caused the studio to incur such a major public loss. I can't help but think that it's part of the narrative to some extent, whether it's bigger than we might think. Maybe we'll find out down the road. But, I mean, moving forward, I mean, Ben Affleck was going to star in the Batman movie, and I think everybody wants that, considering most people, even those who hate that movie, tend to think that Ben Affleck was the best part of it as Bruce Wayne and as Batman, and people saw a lot of potential with him as the character, especially, you know, after his initial casting drew a lot of heat from fans and critics who thought it was a joke, and they thought that casting Ben Affleck in that role was an insult to the character. And when he turned out to do a pretty good job, in my opinion, a great job in that specific movie, I think people were excited about the prospect that not only would he star in a standalone that had nothing to do with the Batman versus Superman movie, although I'm sure there would have been references, but somebody who was definitely a sufficient director. And I know that we at Film Nerds have differing opinions on the quality of movies that he has made so far, but I think for the most part, he on the whole, has, at least based on the three movies prior to Live by Night, went 3 for 3 in that he delivered decent enough movies that perform well at the box office, but Batman is a whole different story.
Look, I've only seen Argo, but yeah, I can say without question that he's a better director than Zack Snyder. It's that's kind of the really big thing here. I feel like I wouldn't put it past the studio to, you know, switch out, you know, him for a more journeyman director, and just to get it into production. I have to assume that his contract as Batman, you know, is different than his contract as director. So it seems like he's probably locked in to act in this thing. But I agree with you. If they don't have either, I mean, I think that this thing just goes, just, you know, hits a red light and just does not happen.
Yeah, but I mean, Batman's a pretty important figure in the DC universe and Justice League specifically, and what they're trying to do, if not the most important thing, even though they started this with Man of Steel and Superman. If you lose your Batman, again, something that people, for the most part, responded pretty positively to in terms of, you know, in contrast to how people responded to the rest of the DC universe so far, then, yeah, I think you go back to square one. And if in fact, he drops out, which I can't imagine him doing. Like you said, it seems like he would be locked in for a while, and that would be uprooting the entire thing if you take the guy playing Batman out of the equation and force them to recast, especially now that this Justice League movie is I'm sure pretty close to wrapping and will be coming out next year. It's just totally bizarre if Affleck ends up dropping out. But I imagine that you and a lot of people out there excuse me, see this as more of an opportunity in terms of recasting Batman and finding a new director. It's like, if you're going back to square one, you should look at it as a glass that is half full. Unless, I know, its biggest critics see it as, okay, well, what good director are they going to force to continue this existing DC universe? So it's kind of a double-edged sword.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still of the mind that, you know, let's give Batman a rest and figure out how to make these other characters, you know, close to being as marketable and popular as Batman, and then bring him back when we have a great game plan. So if we're going to get a Batman movie, sure, let it be Affleck directing Affleck. I don't, you know, I'm not dreading that by any means. I don't think that's, I think from what they're, from where they're coming from, that seems like a good enough direction to go in. But if you don't have that, yeah, I think we need to take a break on Batman. You're going to make your Lego Batman money. That's fine. So just, you know, let the kids have Batman for a little bit, and then focus on making Wonder Woman great. Focus on making the great Superman movie we've yet to get. Focus on making Aquaman and The Flash and, you know, all these other superheroes that have so much potential but have kind of gotten the short shrift in years past, at least Superman has, and certainly Green Lantern. You know, focus on each of those. I don't want to bring up the Marvel thing, but they make no bones about that they are in direct competition with Marvel, and Marvel made sure that they made Iron Man work on his own, and they made Hulk and Thor and Captain America work as well as they could on their own. And before they got into this whole, you know, expanded universe thing. So all signs point to Wonder Woman being pretty great. I think that those trailers look awesome. So I think that, you know, if that can be a success and they've got Aquaman in the hopper and, like you said, Justice League, you know, maybe they need to do some reshoots or tweak the ending of Justice League, depending on whatever happens in that movie. To you know, kind of leave it open as to what happens next to Batman. But, you know, look, if it was me, if you put me in the seat at Warner Brothers, I would close this book with Justice League. And I would take a break and then start from scratch. But, you know, they have a trajectory, and it would be foolish not to continue down it. And I don't think it's a lost cause. Like I said, I've got a lot of enthusiasm for Wonder Woman. I'm hearing great things about Aquaman from that director. So I think, you know, I think going forward, they just need to give Batman a rest. If it's not going to happen organically, please don't throw Marcus Nispel on Batman starring Skeet Ulrich. You know, just don't just grab whoever has an opening in their schedule and crank this movie out.
Skeet Ulrich would appreciate the work. I know that. So somebody throw Skeet Ulrich a bone if you're listening. But look, Marvel shook everything up for DC. It changed their attitude about how to approach this kind of franchise, and for better or worse. And right now it seems like it's for worse, especially when it comes to the future of your most important character and arguably the most beloved character in pop culture to an extent. But I mean, you go back to 1997 when Batman and Robin came out, and it was such a critical failure. There were 8 years between Batman and Robin and the next Batman movie, which obviously Christopher Nolan directed, launching a one of the most popular movie franchises of all time. So you took 8 years to regroup and rethink Batman and go through which actor should play him, go through which director should do it, went through a number of directors like Darren Aronofsky and Joss Whedon and a handful of guys, really super talented people that they had to audition to get it right. And they obviously did, and it worked out for them. Now, Christopher Nolan sort of closed the loop there and forced them to start over, but I think that it should inform them to think, hey, look, we at one point we didn't have the Batman thing figured out. We had to start over. We took our time, and we got it right. Now, Marvel, doing what they do, obviously, so well, and the success that they have had has clearly forced DC to try to think in the same terms and create a cinematic universe akin to the Marvel machine, and they haven't been able to do it quite as well, despite Batman versus Superman and Suicide Squad having a lot of success, even though it's not comparable to the biggest success that Marvel had even during the same year in something like Captain America: Civil War. But it's what they're planning to do. Now, it sounds like, according to reports, that DC and Warner Brothers are attempting to move on replacing Ben Affleck as director, at least. We'll wait and see on replacing him as an actor, but the reports suggest that Matt Reeves is up for replacing him as director. And I think fans would at least acknowledge that he's a great director. We know that from his work on Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and his other movies obviously have their fans too. But I personally would be glad to see him take on a Batman standalone movie. At least I would know it would be in good hands. I guess the biggest question, though, would be, well, how much of it would be under his control, and how much meddling would DC and Warner Brothers do? I think the fact that the narrative has become what it has over the past 24 hours, that it's become this disaster and has become so unpredictable that no matter who they hire, they're going to have their fingerprints on whatever they do so that they can have a better hope to control the situation. So that, to me, doesn't bode well for a future production.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't want Matt Reeves leaving the Planet of the Apes franchise, which I would assume would happen, because a Batman movie would take up a lot of time. Obviously, he's probably wrapping up production on, or post-production on, War of the Planet of the Apes, but I kind of want him open to keep telling that story, because he's doing that well. And if he's not telling that story, then maybe he should go do his own original thing and take a break from these franchise things. You know, I don't think any of us like our favorite filmmakers only making giant blockbuster franchise movies. So that's a disheartening pick for me. Obviously, I agree he's a good director, but it wouldn't be all good news there. You know, I feel like that would be him jumping ship.
Well, look at J.J. Abrams, and I know that Matt Reeves isn't J.J. Abrams. I mean, you know, in some ways they're cut from the same cloth and that they're buddies and they've worked together, but J.J. Abrams is a guy who, while he did make Super 8 a super personal, slightly original movie, sci-fi movie, for the most part, he's obviously been a part of enormous franchises and has done great work on franchises going from one to another. And that's worked out extremely well. And if that is what you're good at, then that's what you should do. And if that's what Matt Reeves wants to do, and that's what he can be successful with, I don't see how this would be a bad move, hiring him to make a Batman movie, considering the great work he's already done on franchises so far. So I would see it on, you know, at least on the surface, as a positive move, despite what I would rather see him do. If they're going to hire a good director to make a Batman movie, that can only be a good thing.
Sure, I can see that. But if I'm honest with myself, it would still be, I mean, I counted it as a loss whenever J.J. went to Star Wars. I mean, that turned out pretty well for me. I like that. I like his Star Wars movie more than any of his other movies. But, you know, that doesn't mean that up until I saw it, I was like, all right, prove to me that, you know, this was worth leaving Star Trek behind, which was the name of the new Star Trek movie, I believe. Yeah, I mean, who else? Is there any other rumors? Are there any other people on the short list?
Yeah, the only two names I've seen rumored out there sound a little flaky to me in terms of how true they could be. It sounds like fake news to me, to be honest. And it's Denis Villeneuve, obviously, the guy who's making a Blade Runner movie right now. And
yeah,
somebody
no
who
way.
Has a very specific style and vision for what he does. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me that he would be hired to let DC put their dirty little fingers all over his work in terms of the way that they might collaborate. And, you know, maybe they'd let him do his thing. They let Zack Snyder do his thing, clearly, and obviously let Christopher Nolan do whatever he wanted, but times have changed. And the other name is George Miller, actually, which, again, just, I know that he was in line, to make a Justice League movie a long time ago, right?
Right, and he was rumored for Man of Steel, too.
Right.
So I think
exactly.
I think he's just the name that pops up these days.
Yeah, for sure. So again, I think that I'll go back to fake news here and say that those don't sound totally realistic to me. Matt Reeves sounds super realistic, and it sounds like a job that he would jump on. But again, I think that he's a really smart guy who makes calculated decisions, especially when it comes to attaching himself to tentpole releases like this, where there will be potential studio interference no matter what he works on. So I think that he is going to make another calculated decision when it comes to Batman. But look, I mean, if you get an opportunity to make a Batman movie, I'm guessing there are a lot of directors at any level who would have a lot of trouble saying no. So we'll just see what he decides to do, if he's their guy, if he's the Warner Brothers guy.
Who do you want?
I'd be fine with Matt Reeves. I like
who do you
him
want, though?
Who I want? I don't know.
Yeah.
because there are a lot of factors sort of influencing how I feel about it. Because who I want to make a Batman movie versus is a completely different thing than who do I want to make this Batman movie, at least as it fits into this newly created ongoing DC universe. Wouldn't you agree?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, yeah, if they brought back Christopher Nolan and said, hey, work within this framework, I would be like, wow, that's kind of sad. So, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know who I'd want to. I think that no matter what, we're going to have to look at it as this is a director for hire who's finishing a job they didn't ultimately start, will ultimately just be kind of doing the bidding of DC's and Warner Brothers' brand work in terms of further establishing this universe. So, honestly, if we get Matt Reeves, I think we could do a lot worse. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the troubling thing to me is that what you're saying is that this is a studio that has not been able to prove to me that they are on their A game, you know, that they've got their stuff together. And you know, I think in terms of franchise work, the best movie they've put out recently that I can think of is Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. And that was a movie entirely under the control of J.K. Rowling and David Yates. So, you know, that there was zero studio involvement in that, as far as I could tell. So that is a concern. They seem to be highly meddling in a lot of these things. There's been a power struggle between Zack Snyder and Geoff Johns from all reports. So it's troubling to me. Here's what I think would be the best, and I guess is my pick. If indeed they're just going to go forward and just put somebody in the director chair, give it to Patty Jenkins. She's finishing up her work on Wonder Woman. She knows this universe. From what I can tell, the movie looks great. So, you know, give it some organic unity and let her put her spin on it. And just,
well, then give it to Zack Snyder because...
Hey, no, stop. No, no.
Man of Steel looked great to you, didn't it?
It did. It did. Yeah, I mean,
okay,
Wonder Woman
could be a piece of
trash.
You have not seen Wonder Woman, so therefore, how can you make that call?
I'm just saying if, you know, I think that would be an interesting pick is to... You know, keep the continuity going, and you know, get somebody that
if you see Wonder Woman and you feel the same way about it that you do Man of Steel, and they have already hired Patty Jenkins to make the Batman movie.
I'll be
while you're whining about how much you hate Wonder Woman, she will be making the Batman movie based on the confidence that you had in her. To based on the trailers you had seen for Wonder Woman, you know what I mean. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm willing to live with that based on the fact that I'm not super enthusiastic about this Batman movie to begin with. It's happening. There's nothing I can do about it. And Affleck seems fine, but I think unless Wonder Woman is an entire piece of trash, it's got a clear Argo at this point for me to be more or less excited about it. You know, and Argo is not a bad movie, but it's not my favorite movie of all time either. I think the most likely thing is probably just pulling this out of my hat is the guy that directed Kong Skull Island. He did Kings of Summer. He's working on for the studio now. His schedule is about to be open. Watch it happen.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is you mentioned other franchises under the Warner Brothers umbrella. Mad Max is another example of that, but that's just such a weird case.
Yeah, barely counts.
That movie was able to be made in the first place.
Was greenlit and overseen by like three different production heads over the course of like 10 years. So
yeah, it also wasn't wildly successful. You know what I mean?
No,
like it wasn't
a smash hit.
I mean, it obviously won a bunch of Oscars and people love it and consider it one of the best movies of 2015. But you know, the weird thing about that franchise too is it's reportedly going to have a sequel that doesn't even have Mad Max in it. That Tom Hardy is reportedly not even going to be in. It's going to be about Charlize Theron, and she's going to be sort of assuming the starring role. So So that's another big reason why I think, you know, George Miller would have nothing to do with this, you know, because he's obviously working on that, and God knows how long that'll take if it took that long to make Mad Max Fury Road. So I would assume he's out, but I don't know. I think we're stuck with the current DC framework right now, and all I can hope is that they hire somebody good and somebody who can work within those parameters and give us a good movie, because I don't think that we're in a position now where they can hire whatever great director and let him or her make the best possible Batman movie that would be according to how they see it, you know?
Yeah, the only way I can see that happening is if Affleck plays hardball and says, you need me as Batman, and I refuse to do this unless you get David Fincher, you know, or some other great director that I love, to pay him whatever he wants to come do this. That's about, unless Affleck strong-arms somebody in there, I don't see that happening. I think it's going to be a convenient studio-friendly pick. So Batman Skull Island, here we come. Which, again, that movie looks pretty rad. So, I mean, that could turn out just fine. So I'm not a fan of Kings of Summer, but, you know, we'll see.
I'm trying to think of other directors who frequently work with Warner Brothers.
David Yates took over Legend of Tarzan after that, went through a litany of other directors. So he's kind of there. Is a baseball term to use here, is that pinch hitter? Is that a thing?
Sure. That, why not?
Sure, but, yeah, sports.
Yeah, it also, you know, look, Clint Eastwood's out there, man. And it's Clint Eastwood.
Oh, man.
Or how about bring Tim Burton back into it? He's a Warner Brother guy.
There is a film nerd that would love that very much.
Well, like I said, as long as John Peters is very closely involved with this, then I'm all in on it.
He's the Donald Trump of Hollywood, he said to himself.
So, I mean, just quickly, you're obviously probably the biggest Batman fan of all of us, and, you know, you love what Christopher Nolan did, and we've talked about our concerns for the future of the Batman franchise. I mean, are you worried about Batman? Because I don't think that they're going to sit on Batman. I think that they want a new Batman movie ASAP. I think that's just the way it works, and they're going to turn it out as best as they can and make the money that they can make. I don't think they're going to be patient about this. So does that attitude and is that sort of, I guess, recipe for success worry you about the future? Because, I mean, at some point they're going to have to reboot, and then we're going to go back to the drawing board and try to figure out who should play Batman and who should direct it again. But for the time being, it's going to be under this very specific umbrella in this very specific universe. So are you concerned for Batman moving forward?
No, not at all. I mean, I think anybody that lived through the 90s, where we got possibly the best iteration of Batman of all time, with Batman the Animated Series, and possibly the worst iteration of Batman that could ever be in Batman Robin. I think anybody that lived through that period can see that this character is so malleable and so multifaceted that he can be interpreted in an apparently infinite number of ways. So I think he's just a very he's different than Superman, you know, that may be part of the popularity. Superman is a very narrow interpretation to get it spot on. But Batman, you can, you know, there's things that work just fine about the Adam West Batman. There's things that work great about the Frank Miller Batman, and those are two polar opposites. He's an awful lot like James Bond in terms of you have a wide range there. So I think that, yeah, I mean, I'm not really anticipating seeing another great Batman movie in the theater for quite some time based on the current climate, but that doesn't mean that it won't ever happen again, and that doesn't mean that those versions that are in the theater aren't valid, you know? I mean, the Batman in Zack Snyder's world is, I think, a better interpretation of Batman than the Superman is of Superman. And I think that says, again, that says a lot about the character, and it says a lot about the character's resilience. So yeah, I'm not really worried. I guess I'm always worried in these kind of things with overload, you know, that in 5 years we'll just all be sick of Batman and everybody will stop liking him. But that didn't happen with Star Wars, and it hasn't happened with Marvel, and I'm thinking that just doesn't happen anymore in our culture. So yeah, I don't think there's anything to really worry about.
I guess what I would be worried about is if in fact Ben Affleck drops out, they're going to have to cast Batman in a hurry. And I'm sure that there are plenty of like A-listers and people we like, or even an unknown, that would do a fine job as Batman. And I'm sure that, you know, they've clearly got the clout to cast a wide variety of people for it. But the concern is always, well, who's going to play the guy? But again, I mean, in a similar conversation to what we've had about James Bond, pretty much everybody who has played James Bond has done a good job. And I think the same is mostly true for Batman.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you could, people clearly have their opinions on Clooney and even Val Kilmer, but for the most part, they do a good job. It mostly depends on who's making it, who's writing it, who's producing it, who's giving it the best opportunity to succeed. So if Affleck drops out, it'll be a huge story and a huge role to fill, and I'm most eager to see what happens there, but I haven't seen anything concrete saying that he's definitely leaving.
Miles Teller.
For more Film Nerds Unlimited, go to filmnerds.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, rate and review our podcast on iTunes. Keep an eye out for the next issue of Film Nerds Unlimited, coming soon.